and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joe Aaron, Jimmy Tardy, Galen Sanford, and Tarina Aguilar. The producer is Mike Klepfer. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The Cable Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so go get a pen or something else to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Paul Rowland.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. From 7 to 8, it's Democracy Now!, a news magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 9, it's Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective with host Joanne Hardesty. At 9:30, hear Press Watch. Host Teresa Mitchell brings you the news you're not supposed to know. From 9:30 to 10, it's Fight the Empire. Tomorrow, host Per Fogring will be speaking about the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on April 4th, 1968. Since 1968, the U.S. has been involved in one disastrous war after another, and this question arises, is America under a curse? At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with host Chris Andre. At 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, hear Between the Covers. On tomorrow's show, Sarah Manguso is the guest. She'll be discussing her third book, Ongoingness, The End of a Diary. Maintaining that diary has become a kind of spiritual practice for her, and changing relationships and preventing a parent generated an amnesia that changed her need to document herself. Finally, at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk. Host Patricia Walsh interviews two-time national best-selling author Debrenna Jackson Gandy. Her newest book is The Love Lies. She discusses her life as a transformational speaker, love relationship mentor, and personal success coach.
And now stay tuned for News from the Boo with KBOO station manager Mike Crenshaw and special guest KBOO board member Jen Davis.
It's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
All right, it is Wednesday. The news has wrapped up, which means it is time once again for News for the Boo. All of the information you need to know about what's happening here at the station and in the greater KBOO listening area. We are joined once again by station co-manager Mike Crenshaw, and he has brought with him today special guest Jen Davis.
Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hello, how are you,
hey,
Jen?
Mike.
Hey, Jen. So, Jen, I wanted to invite you down because you communicated to me recently that you had a lot of news to share with
us.
People
may know that I'm not only on the KBOO board, but I'm also a bee advocate and a beekeeper. I have an organization called Bee Friendly Portland, and we do a lot of work on the neighborhood level to support and protect bees. And we're really excited about the citywide ban on neonicotinoid pesticides.
Good.
That's something that we've been working on for a long time, and I know a lot of other people have too. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful victory. And this ban is pretty interesting because it will not only ban the use on city property of four kinds of neonicotinoid pesticides. It will also ban the city from buying plants that are pre-treated with the neonicotinoids, and it will urge them to let retailers know that they should be labeling those plants that are pre-treated with neonics. Neonicotinoids are a synthetic nicotine that are systemic. That means they're water soluble, they're taken up by the plant and expressed in every cell of the plant, including the nectar and pollen. And there's over 800 peer-reviewed research papers that have found that these particular pesticides can affect the learning behaviors of bees, the foraging behaviors, the reproduction cycles, and the immunities of bees. So it's really having a lot of impact, a lot of scientists believe. And so this could really make a huge difference in the health and safety of our Portland parks.
So property. I've been hearing about the disappearing bees and the bee population being threatened, subsequently our food supply being threatened for a number of years. Have we discovered that the neonicotinoids are the root cause, or are there numerous root causes?
Well, there are definitely numerous root causes to our bee troubles. Just monoculture by itself causes a lot of problems because it gets rid of habitat and forage for bees. But then on top, we're layering climate change that comes with the droughts and the blizzards that can cause all kinds of problems for bees. We also have just developments which are destroying a lot of habitat for bees. But there's pesticides in general are a huge problem for bees. That's pretty well established. You might buy a grapefruit in the grocery store, and it might be treated with as many as 11 different pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. Scientists do believe that this cocktail is affecting bees' immunities. But since the advent of the neonicotinoid pesticides, the first people to see a huge change in their bee population was in Germany. Actually, Bayer Corporation in Germany makes one of the neonicotinoids. And when they introduced those to the farms, they saw massive bee die-offs immediately. And that's actually the massive bee die-offs that have been associated with neonicotinoids have spurred Europe to put a two-year moratorium on the use of the neonicotinoids. So the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Service has recognized that the neonicotinoids are a problem, among many other organizations and scientists across the nation, because of their systemic nature. When you put a pesticide in a plant and it's expressed in the nectar and pollen, there is no safe time to put that pesticide on the plant. You can't wait until after bloom and then apply that pesticide, because that pesticide may remain in that plant for years and years. And some studies have found in woody plants for as long as 10 years or longer. So you're just going to get, you know, you could go to a nursery today here in Portland and buy a plant thinking, oh, I'm going to go home and feed the bees and have beautiful flowers, and you're actually having a toxic effect on your bees population. So one thing that I would really urge our listeners to do is help to spur on this wonderful ordinance by asking your retailers, hey, have these plants that I'm buying been pre-treated with neonics or other pesticides? And demand plants that are not pre-treated with pesticides. The reason why so many nurseries do pre-treat these plants, because they're fighting little bugs like white flies and aphids. Well, that's food for ladybugs and green lacewings. We as consumers can drive this market. We could get rid of these pesticides. We don't really need them, but we need to accept that there's going to be a little bit of bug damage on some plants. And also that whenever we have a healthy ecosystem, there are predators bugs out there that are going to come in there and take care of these pests. So we need to start thinking in that direction.
Jen, horticulturists like Jerry Baker have long advocated using tobacco tea as an organic pesticide. Is the problem with neonicotinoids that they are a synthetic nicotine, or is it just nicotine in general that is a problem? And should organic backyard gardeners cease using that kind of pesticide?
Right. Well, actually, most organic farmers probably wouldn't use an organic, nicotine tea, because it's extremely powerful, and it not only will kill your good bugs, but it will kill, your bad bugs, but it will kill bees and other bugs too. if you want a solution to your pests in your backyard and you feel like you need some kind of product, I really encourage people to go to the NCAP website. That's the National Coalition Against Pesticides website. They have a fantastic resource for alternatives to pesticides or the least toxic ways that you can deal with pests. Also, the Metro site here in Portland has a really good resource guide and a website for alternatives to pests.
So whether synthetic or homebrewed, steer clear of nicotine.
Yeah, I certainly do because it's extremely toxic. Yeah, I know that sometimes people use it on the tomato hornworm, but that's not generally a problem here in the Northwest. And I tend to handpick bugs that are a problem that you might want to address with this sort of thing. You can also spray bugs off with a blast of water. And then finally, just remember that, you know, you may look at one of your marigolds or your nasturtiums or something and it's totally predated with aphids. Well, guess what? That is ladybug steak right there. And our ladybugs are disappearing very rapidly, just like our bees and our butterflies. And part of it is there's not enough forage for them. Everybody freaks out when they see an aphid, and then there's no food for them. So I actually let plants that get aphids just go ahead and get as many aphids as they want, and sure enough, here comes ladybugs and green lacewings to eat up those pests. So I encourage people to start thinking like that. If you over-fertilize your crops, you're going to be getting more aphid damage. So, you know, learn more about the biology of how to healthily grow plants. There's a lot of wonderful resources out there to help you learn how to grow healthier plants. Look at your organic gardening books in your organic gardening section, and you will learn that if you're giving a plant the conditions that they like, the amount of water that they like, not over fertilizing them, you're gonna and you have a healthy ecosystem in your garden, you're gonna not really have much of a pest problem, especially on the small, diverse home garden scene.
Let's spend a few minutes switching over to the topic of drought, because I think we all are aware that our winter was really dry and summer looks like it's going to be a bad one for the benefit of bees specifically, but other beneficial or even, you know, semi-beneficial insects. Are there steps that individuals out there at their homes can do to sort of help ameliorate the effects of the drought this summer on those insects?
Yeah, thanks a lot for asking that, because absolutely, one of the most important things that you can do for bees, besides planting healthy non-pesticide treated forage, is to leave out shallow dishes of water. They need to be shallow because bees can drown very easily. And put a few rocks in there. Your bees and your butterflies and other pollinators will come up and use that water. You'll be surprised how many wonderful insects that you get to these water dishes. And they are absolutely crucial in the summertime. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a lot of our bees and butterflies die off, is they're just thirsty. And California is going to have a real bee problem on their hands if they don't act to mitigate that issue.
So, Jen, I heard you talking about this region, the West Coast in the United States. You talked about Europe. Is this a global problem on other continents?
Yeah, absolutely. Europe right now estimates that 10% of their bees are threatened with extinction. That's their different species of bees, including a lot of their bumblebees. And, you know, they use pesticides just like we do, but not too on the scale that we do. And they are starting very rapidly to change their ways, because they, you know, some of these countries are quite small. Their farmland is not huge, and they need to really take care of what farmland that they have. So they're sort of the canary in the coal mine. But yes, globally, we're seeing bee die-offs around the globe, but it's kind of following the trail of the, quote, green revolution chemicals that were starting to be used across the world. I mean, when we start using these chemicals and we start growing in monoculture, monocultural habitats, then, you know, we're going to see bee loss.
So for our listeners that don't know what monoculture means?
What is monoculture means growing just one kind of crop in an, in an acreage. So all corn for many acres. That's like a bee desert. There's no food for them, especially after one particular crop has finished flowering. Yeah, so you really need biodiversity on your land.
You, we've only got about a minute and a half left, but you did want to talk about butterflies.
The World Health Organization has just come out that the Roundup that we use as herbicide probably causes cancer. And that's sprayed throughout, everywhere, and it's sprayed heavily on our food. And so that's something that we beekeepers will probably be moving towards, asking the city to ban the Roundup on our playground fields. We don't need to be playing in that. And the Roundup has been associated with the monarch die-off. Right now, the eastern monarch is considered critically threatened, like it may be extinct soon. And that's been following the huge spraying of Roundup on Roundup-resistant GMO crops. So buy organic foods when possible, and tell your neighbors not to use that Roundup. It's much more deadly than we thought.
Okay. Thank you for coming down.
Sure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
And don't forget to go to the movie tomorrow.
Okay.
Occupy the Farm at 6:30 p.m. On April 2nd at Clinton Street Theater. That's co-sponsored by KBOO, and it's very inspiring.
Right on.
Mike, Jen, thank you very much for joining us today. We will be joined by you, hopefully again, next week. And until then, everyone have a great week.
Thank you.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary. Susan Griffin is an internationally celebrated writer who will speak on the false divisions our culture makes between body and soul, masculine and feminine, self and other, that allow us to hide from our own knowledge. Again, that's Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary. 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found